up again. We were looking at Psalm 60, which I think was kind of an appropriate psalm to be looking at the commencement of a new year, and a psalm that speaks of chastisement but also of deliverance. And as we looked at that psalm, beginning in the first verse, to the chief musician upon Shushane, the victim of David, to teach. When he strove with Aram Naharaim and with Haram Zobah, when Joab returned and smote Edom in the valley of Salt, 12,000. O Lord, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that they may be that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem, and that I mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine, and Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom I will cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hadst cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with without thy armies, or go out with thy armies, give us help from trouble. For vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. And again, we look time and time in that psalm, and again, as Brother Hal alluded to it in his prayer, God's sovereignty. And in this psalm, David's saying, you know, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast showed. Thou hast given. And on and on and on. And then he says, you know, God, you will do this, and you will do that. You know, it's not in us. As we looked at Amos 3:6, and shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord has not done it? Our God is sovereign, and he's accomplishing his perfect will. And we began to look at in the earlier verses here, you know, that God will chastise his own. And that is proof in and of itself that, you know, that they are his. As we saw there in verse 1, O God, thou hast cast us off. Thou hast broken it. Thou hast scattered us. Thou hast been displeased. O turn thyself to us again. You know, that estrangement that David feels from God, that the child of God feels when God's chastisement is upon him. And I think I shared, I don't think anyone's more convinced that God is real than a child of God that's under the conviction of heaven. You know, I've known my own life at times, and you know, when you're kind of struggling against heaven, or you know, or your will against, if you know that God is real. And David feels God's displeasure upon the land and upon the nation of Israel. And nothing's more painful to a child of God than to be estranged from his heavenly Father, one who senses God's displeasure in the absence of fellowship. But one who truly senses that that absence of fellowship and feels the need of it is often, you know, on the road to restoration. And David calls there at the end of verse 1, "O turn thyself to us again," that plea for restoration, that thing that many of us, at least in our hearts, you know, feel for our own land and this day and age in which we live. And as we alluded to, the things that are transpiring about us and the things that are celebrated, like we'll see tomorrow in the sodomy and the other things, we desire restoration. And yet most of the world that doesn't have that sense. It's everything's okay. We're just fine. You know, things are only getting better. And for David, there was turmoil. There was trouble. The chastisement of God took or brought forth things that were turmoil at home and conflict abroad. Verse 2, "Thou hast made the earth to tremble. Thou hast broken it. Heal the breaches thereof, for it shaketh." Again, those difficulties hadn't been chance. They hadn't been bad luck. The turmoil that had come upon Israel, economic and political and financial and militarily, they were from the hand of God. And we don't know what might be brought forth in 2015, you know, in our own lives and in our own land. Again, we consider as David here speaks about the earth trembling, the very foundations of society have been shaken. Previous to the time here of David, the king Saul had murdered the priests, and the very worst of men had been elevated to high office. Almost sounds like something I've heard of before. You know, oh yeah, yesterday in the paper. And you look around and you see the sort of folks have been put in positions of prominence and positions of power. The murdering of the high priest, and we see in our day and age, you know, the persecution of God's people. We see the murder of the unborn. We see in this day and age, you know, an equal footing that's given to truth and error. And my rant this week in the paper again about, you know, Duke University this chapel that, you know, they've even designated a church that was supposed to be a chapel to the Lord Jesus Christ, and here they were going to be broadcasting the satanic Muslim call for prayer. You know, this is the time in which we live. You know, only because they were concerned about their donations and so forth that they retreated somewhat, but they're still given place in the chapel there for the Muslims to have their worship services and their prayer services and so forth and so on. We see that, you know, equal footing is given to the truth and to Islam and to the Satanists and on and on and on. See, they had a satanic display up at the Capitol in Tallahassee over the holidays, and some lady went in there and tore it up. You read about it in the paper, but you know, these things, we just say, well, they're all equal, they're all the same. It does matter. And God is going to bring chastisement upon His people. And David realizes, and as we realize, in particular as we see more and more of this going on, that God's direct intervention alone can restore us. And I don't know if God will choose to heal this land. That's not always within His purview. And we don't necessarily have some kind of a special relationship to God that no one else has. We don't even have the kind of relationship that national Israel has. And we think, well, you know, it's like, well, God's going to have to fix us because He needs us. No, it doesn't work that way. There was this conflict at home and abroad. There was disorientation and confusion. Look at verse 3. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Now there's confusion. You know, they're like a drunk man. Outward, the crisis of confusion and shock, and then divisions within. And it was necessary that God was going to teach His people some hard things, and teach them through some hard things. You know, often that comes when we refuse the more gentle instructions of the Lord, the more gentle persuasions of the Lord, or we butt up against the revealed will of God and decide, well, we got a better idea. And then comes the hard things to be taught. And the USA is a land of confusion today, if it's nothing else. And again, the sodomy, immigration, bringing in Islam, the matters of gun control, and all these things that are going on, in contradiction to God-given rights. And I'm concerned where we're going in this year, what we're going to see. And I was thinking, and again, as we see, you know, here we have gay so-called marriage in Florida. People didn't vote for that. People voted against it. What's to prevent them doing the same thing with, you know, with our gun rights or any of the other rights, with our rights to freely meet here? What's to prevent them from doing that? I mean, how did they do that? They just said, well, this is the way we're going to do it. We don't care what the book says. We don't care what the Constitution says. And now you're going to have sodomite marriages. What's to prevent them saying, okay, well, I don't care what the Constitution says. I don't care what the book says. You know, you all turn in your guns or we'll come get them and kill you. Or anything else. You know, there's disorientation. There's confusion throughout the land. And we're hard put to give an explanation of it. You say, how did we get here? How did this happen? How did we get from the founders to the... I come up and I said the flounders. I don't know. I thought that was... You know, how did we get from Washington and Jefferson and, yes, you know, Lee and our Confederate forefathers, you know, to the Obamas and the Biners and so forth? How did that happen? What's transpiring? What's bringing these things about? Well, there's confusion. and even God's children look about and say, what's happening? And we can't explain it. But we can know that God delivers His own. And whether it be national Israel or His elect or His church, and yes, I believe there's a special relationship with God on a physical sense with Israel. That's not with any other nation. But beyond that, that spiritual relationship that He has with His elect and His church is far surpasses that. And our assurance is that God delivers His own. Verse 4 says, Thou hast given a banner to them that fear Thee, and it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and hear me. God gives us a banner of truth. You know what banners are for? They're for, you display them. You set them forth. You proudly wave them. And you show who's you are. God has given us a banner. You know, you don't hide a banner. No, you put it out for the world to see. And I think, again, we need We need to take a stand. We need to get out there, and I have the greatest of intentions, as I mentioned, I don't know, from the pulpit or at the meeting or both times, but, you know, to try to be a dangerous old man for the rest of my life. You know, to seek to be a thorn in their side, to put forth the banner. And if it take, again, the matter of trying to get the truth out, you know, the gospel truth and the truth of God, the truth of God-given rights, and to put those things out. Whether it be letters to the editor or other things that we may be able to do. But God has given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. You know, the banner was what the warrior fought under. You know, it was a battle. It wasn't a symbol of ease. It wasn't a symbol of pleasure. It wasn't a symbol of comfort. But it was a symbol of conflict. And I don't claim to understand everything of why we're here, but I think it's to be doing something. It's to be engaged. It was to be a rallying point. You know, you could see that banner. Again, people sometimes get confused about, for instance, you know, our war for independence against the empire. Those fellas standing out there with them flags and all, you know, the flag bearers. What sense did that make? Well, that was their communication. That was how they knew where they were and where they were to rally. And it was somewhat equivalent to the kind of advanced communications we have today. Those things were necessary. They were an integral part of things. And that banner was where they would rally around. And where they would be identified with. And they're given by God. Thou hast given us a banner. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. And that banner, again, is an assurance, as we see that banner, of God's presence with us, because it was given to us by God. And God gives it to us with the intention of victory, and with the promise that He'll be with us. So I pray, you know, that during this coming year we might hold high the gospel banner. We might hold high the banner of truth. And the soldier was willing under that banner, if needs be, to die for it. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we might be called upon to do such things. And perhaps much sooner than any of us would think. And it may come the time that, you know, it'll be either to deny that banner or die. Whether it be from the empire or whether it be from these Muslim immigrants that they're bringing in or whatever. Isaiah says in Isaiah 11:10, "And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious." Raise up that banner, that ensign of the people, the root of Jesse, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And beyond that, under the inspiration of the Spirit, David says here, Selah. And again, that's Psalms are music, were meant to be sung. They were part of the musical ministry within the temple. And that Selah was literally meant to pause. It was a pause in the musical break, but it's also a pause and tells us to stop and think. Stop and think on this. Dwell upon this for a bit. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. Brethren, we ought not be ashamed of it. We ought to be prepared to use it and to show it forth. And it's given again to the beloved of God in verse 5, that thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me. God's elect. David personally was beloved of God. You know, even his name means to be beloved. And David, for all his sins and faults, was a man after God's own heart. He had that relationship with the Father. And he knew he had that relationship. And when he was out of that fellowship, he would sense it. In Ephesians, we read Ephesians 1:6. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. The Lord Jesus Christ is preeminently the Beloved. But we are accepted. We are beloved because we're in the Beloved. And that location within Him, that privilege of being within Him, was before the foundation of the world. We were elect in Him. We're chosen in Him. The beloved of God. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. I can't think of anything, you know, more comforting or anything more honoring than to be called the beloved of the Lord. The beloved of God. Paul says, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Wow. Can't hardly contemplate that. God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. You know, He chose us and He brings us to these things. He brings us to the sanctification of the Spirit. He brings us to the belief of the truth. And so we have the banner of truth above us. David says, save with thy right hand and hear me. Brethren, it's appropriate for the child of God to call upon his Father. You know, we look about, again, the confusion, the turmoil, and the conflict, and David calls out, save with thy right hand. Or old Peter out there, you know, trying to walk on the water, gets his eyes off Jesus a little bit, and starts to sing, save me, Lord! Brethren, it's always right to call upon the Lord. It's always right. And you can always be confident in casting yourself upon the Lord. And I think, again, in this coming year, that we might be careful in those things. Psalm 50 and verse 15 says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call on thee in the day of trouble. Now, I don't think, you know, we know much troubles. We've not yet resisted under blood. But sometimes it seems like that. Like I said, I can get in a funk about some little things that don't matter that much, really. And can little things bother me. But, you know, it's always right to call upon the Lord, to bring the things to the throne of grace. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. And then we say, God brings that triumph to his own. And we'll get started looking at this and probably pick up there again, but in verse 6. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I'll divide Shechem and net out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. God brings triumph to his own children. You know, David was in conflict and there were divisions at home and some of the tribes were rebelling against his leadership. But God was going to work those things out. God had given the inheritance of Israel to the rule of David. And it was going to happen. And though it may not have looked at it at the moment as these folks were in rebellion and division, David said, God has spoken in His holiness. Brother, God said it. There's some folks, they used to say, you know, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Let me tell you something. God said it, that settles it, whether you believe it or not. You know, it really doesn't matter. And through prayer and through the leadership of the Spirit, you know, what a blessing it is when God brings us to align our hearts with His. You know, and what a blessing we receive from that, and what peace we have from that. But it doesn't matter. If you don't believe it or not, it doesn't matter. That's not what settles it. That God said it. That's what settles it. And God brings triumph to His people. And that portion of Scripture that I often refer to, I appreciate so much what Paul wrote to the saints in Corinth over in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. God brings triumph to His own and maketh manifest, makes known the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Again, it kind of goes back to that banner. We're to rally under the banner. We're to wave the banner that the Lord's given us. And make it manifest, makes known the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. You say, well, you know, you put up the banner, some folks are going to reject it. Some folks aren't going to like it. Some folks are going to rebel against it. Some folks will take it under fire. But none. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in him that perish. Now, our privilege is to hoist the banner. God will bring the results from it. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, and them that are saved, and them that perish. To the one we are a savor of death unto death, to the other a savor of life unto life. It's the same message. It's the same banner. So, it brings the different results. It's not us. Paul goes on to say then, and who's sufficient for these things? Paul says, you know, wow. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. You know, I pray that we might, you know, wave the banner this year. Wave the banner of truth. Wave the banner of the liberty that we have in Christ. Not be reluctant or ashamed of the banner that the Lord's given us. And David says, David's confident that as he does that, God's going to work His perfect will. God had already said that, you know, David was going to rule over the kingdom. And so, David's confident that God will bring it about. He says, I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and met out the valleys of Succoth. And he's talking here about various parts of Israel. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. And right there at the moment, it may not have looked that way. Because, you know, some of them were following the house of Saul still and weren't happy with David. Ephraim also is the strength of my hand. Judah is my lawgiver. I will rejoice, David says. Again, God said it. That settles it. Whether you believe it or not, but you know what? It makes things a whole lot better. Makes things a whole lot more peaceful makes things a whole lot more pleasant if you accept it and believe it. And again, the Lord brings that about within our hearts. God had promised the land to Israel, the kingdom to David. And he was going to give it to him. And you know what? And we'll pick up here next. God's promised us a lot of things. And there's no ifs, ands, buts, maybes. He's going to deliver. And what comfort that is to the child of God. And may we go forth, you know, in the kind of confidence that David demonstrates here. May we go forth in that kind of confidence this year, displaying the banner that the Lord's given us. Let's take our hymnals this morning. We'll stand and sing a closing hymn together. Number 351, My Savior First of All, 351.
I shall know my Redeemer when I reach the other side, and His smile will be the first to welcome me. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and Redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know mansion in the sky. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the breath of the nails in His hand. Over the now they beckon me to come, and the parting at the river I recall. Till the sweet vales of Eden they will sing my welcome home, but I long to meet my Savior first of all. I shall know I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the prints of the nails in His hand. Through the gates to the city, in a robe of spotless white, He will lead me where no tears will ever fall. In the glad song of ages I shall my Savior first of all. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, and redeemed by His side I shall stand. I shall know Him, I shall know Him, by the print of the nails in His hand.
Father, we thank You. Thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for this, Your church, for the fellowship of the saints. Pray, Lord, for our brother Prophet as he's away from us today. Pray, Lord, for guide us in direction, that we might know your will and walk in it. And Father, we thank you that you are pleased to reveal your will in your word, and to preserve that word that we can hold in our hand and read the thus saith the Lord of the scripture. Father, we thank you for your servant David, as you inspired him to write the words that we've been looking at the past couple of weeks. Lord, we're a land that's in confusion. We're a land that stumbles about as a drunken man. And Lord, sometimes even your children partake of that. We don't understand how we got here or what's happening. And yet, Lord, we thank you for the sure truth that you've given your people a banner. And Lord, I pray that we might faithfully raise that banner, that we might rally under it. Lord, as we live in an age when truth has been discounted, when good has been called evil and evil has been called good, and Lord, in spite of what man may receive or accept or believe, we know that truth is still truth. So Lord, let your people stand. And Lord, let us go forth in confidence that you'll bring triumph to your people. Lord, that even moment by moment, day by day, that we experience triumph in Christ. Lord, may we be aware of that truth. Lord, I pray your hand upon each man that's here, the families that they represent. I pray that you be with them as they seek to go forth as leaders and examples. Thank you, Lord, for the help needs that you've given them. Lord, I in particular thank you for my own dear wife, and I just pray your hand on her, that you be with her as she prepares to visit with Heather and keep her safe and give them a profitable time together. Lord, I thank you for the assurance that we have in our Savior, the assurance that we have that we're beloved, not because of anything that was in us, but because we are in the beloved. Lord, such love. Father, as you've permitted us to experience it, may we go forth in obedience to those things that you've set before us. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior. Thank you for his atoning death. Thank you for his all-sufficient sacrifice. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.